Thank you, Brother Kent, Sister Lois, and thank you for that little bit of time that we sing a cappella. And that was really encouraging to hear voices singing out so loud and strong and clear and not saying, oh, she stopped playing, I got to stop singing.
And Aunt Barbara, that was her favorite.
That was her favorite for today. So as Brother Kent often reminds us, if you have a favorite, let him know and we'll sing it together. And thank you for leading. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to finish that chapter 2 as the Lord allows today. Strength to do that. And I hope you're excited about revival. Who needs revival? I need revival. I need strengthening. I need encouraging. And so I went to some revival meetings this past week at other churches and went to church on Tuesday night, and the gentleman preached on the book of Esther, covered the whole book of Esther in one sermon, and that was a powerful message. It was kind of lengthy, too, but it was really good, and Esther's a great book of the Old Testament. Colossians 2, 16-23, title of the message today is Do's and Don'ts. Do's and Don'ts. Do's and Don'ts. They're all throughout life. You heard do's and don'ts from the time that you were a child. From an infant, mom and dad was, do this, don't do it, don't touch that, don't pick up, don't do it. Don'ts, do's and don'ts, do's and don'ts. But they're also throughout the Bible. Moses' last sermon, Moses' last book, the book of Deuteronomy, is full of instructions for the Israelites of what they should do and what they were told not to do. Moses told them, first of all, teach your children these things. And teach future generations all that God has spoken to us and taught us in the wilderness. But Moses was telling them not to do these things or don't do these things so they would be God's people. No, that was not the point at all. Moses was saying, you're already God's people. I want you to do these things and don't do these things so you might enjoy God's blessing in the land. God also teaches us in the New Testament a great number of commands of things to do, not necessarily to be saved. The command to be saved is believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But he teaches some do's and don'ts of the New Testament so we might experience God's favor, God's blessing. Let's be clear of our understanding that do's and don'ts of Scripture bring about spiritual health and not salvation. Some folks still think that nowadays. Even tired to use the Bible to say, well, if I live a good life, then God certainly will let me in heaven. If I have my doing goods, outdo my not doing goods, it's greater of doing goods, God will certainly let me in heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches salvation is by grace through faith in God's provision of the Lord Jesus Christ. One area that the New Testament spends a lot of time dealing with, as we've looked at a lot, is teaching us not to get caught up or even led away by any false teachings. Almost all the New Testament epistles, letters, lend some time to the teaching of this topic. The close of Colossians chapter 2 leads us to this area again. And even in our life now today, we'll sometimes encounter people say, you need to do this, do this, do this, and do this. And there might be good things, but don't ever get thinking if we do this, we'll be more right with God. We are only as right with God as salvation is provided. Our standing, we talk about in Sunday school, our position in salvation is done by the work and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if anyone says, if you do this, you'll be more right with God, they don't have a proper understanding of the Bible, of understanding of Scripture, salvation. And so, some of the do's and don'ts that people want to add to our life can be really burdensome to a person and get a person confused about salvation by grace. So let's examine some areas that the Word of God clearly tells us about that today. So, as we give reverence and honor to God's Word, let us stand. Colossians chapter 2, 16-23. Some do's and don'ts. Paul is telling the church of Colossae, which is also for us. In 16, he says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day, or of the new moons, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you in your reward in voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up in his fleshly mind, and not holding the head. Head is capitalized here, speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are all perished with the using, after the commandments and doctrines of men. That phrase in verse 22 is very important. The doctrines of men. Our doctrines don't come from man. Our doctrines come from God by the Holy Spirit. Verse 23, which things have indeed a shadow of wisdom in ill worship. In other words, that can be translated self-worship and humility and neglecting the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for its teaching us and leading us and guiding us to salvation, but beyond that, guiding us in our walk. Some things, God, that you would have us to do. And there are certainly things you would have us not to do. But Lord, help us always become clear on what you tell us to do and not to do, more than what man may try to add to the Word of God. So Lord, speak to us in these moments now, we pray. Have your work and your will in each every heart and mind to the glory of God our Father. In Jesus' name we ask these favors. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Do's and don'ts. Do's and don'ts. Sometimes, if you are a younger sibling like I am, if you got around some older pimp in the neighborhood, they would try to get you to do some do's that you shouldn't be doing. And mama would teach you about what you don't do when you got home, right? And so that happened to me a number of times. And sometimes it would happen in school. And sometimes it happens in our spiritual life. Sometimes we will do something we shouldn't do or don't do something God tells us to not do, and God will have to discipline us. One of the ways that we know that we're God's children is the disciplining hand of a loving Father. So let's examine some things here and some do's and don'ts here in the Word of God. The first one that I have for us today, based on this passage, is don't go back. Don't go back. Verse 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day. Holy day is where we get the word holiday. Or of a new moon or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Don't go back. This is not a proof text for never judging anything or anyone. There are several places in the Bible where the word judge is used, and folks oftentimes when they go to that and says, look, the Bible says don't judge, and they stop, and they put a period where the Word of God doesn't put a period. So don't use this as a text to say, see, God says don't judge. But there's a different principle here. He's telling us not to go back. Not to go back what? Judge is not used here in the proper text. It's in the proper context that the Bible would have us to use. God says that we are continually to be judging ourselves to see if we're walking with the Lord. But this here, people were coming along to the church of Colossae, and they were saying, listen, you're not right with God totally because you're not doing this. You need to go back and also keep the Old Testament laws and rules and regulations. Those are called Judaizers. We've mentioned that before. They were trying to get people to be Christian, but live like the Jewish regulations. Those are Judaizers. And this was what they were taught. It was false. Now, what is being taught here? A, these instructions are of the Old Testament. Paul is saying, you don't have to go back to this. We are in the new. We are in the new covenant. We're free from the Old Testament. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse number 1, therefore we are free from the old. Let's look at what Romans 8, 1 says. Romans 8 and chapter 8 of Romans and verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. And so the law of sin and death comes from that Old Testament. If you do these things, you will die. Now God wants you to do these things to separate you, to be unique and different. And so Paul is telling the church at Colossae, those were a shadow. Don't go back to those. You don't have to go back under those. You've been set free. These were laws given to Jews, and they were complete in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they all pointed to Jesus coming, and they reminded people how God's standard could not be kept, and it needed to be kept by the Lord Jesus Christ to set us free. Now, second of all, concerning don't go back, these can be observed by volunteer desires. If these help you in worship, that's fine. Paul, in another place, he said, if any man chooses to not eat of this, or not to eat of this flesh, or to keep this. So if a New Testament Christian says, I want to do Passover, and I want to do it exactly like the Jewish folks did, because it helps me in worship, that's fine, do that. If someone comes along and says, I'm saved, I believe that I ought to worship on Saturday, and that's the best day to worship, like they did in the Old Testament, that's fine if you want to do that, but don't come along telling another Christian, you have to do that also in order to be right with God. Paul's saying, don't go back to that, because these are only to be worshipped this way by a volunteered way. And then thirdly, these were a forecast of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 17 says, which are a shadow of things to come. What's a shadow? Have you ever seen your younger children or younger grandchildren discover their shadow and get scared of it? They cast an image of the real thing. A shadow is not the person, but it's casting an image. It's showing forth that real image. And what Paul is saying here, those things were a shadow. The real institution of the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and you've been set free from all that as a have to. Look at the Bible says also about how we're complete in Christ. Romans chapter 14, verses 1 through 4. Romans 14, 1 through 4. Paul addresses this to the Roman church. And this is a tough topic sometimes. But we can allow in the Christian community for people to have different convictions about some things. Some folks have a conviction they won't have a TV in their house. That's fine. Some folks have a TV and they're very selective what they want. That's fine. You don't come along as a Christian and say, I don't have a TV, and so since I don't have a TV, you can't have a TV, and if you have a TV and I don't, you must not be close to God. And so Paul addresses that in Romans chapter 14. Him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. For if one believeth that he may eat all things, another who is weak eateth herbs, or only fruits and vegetables. Let not him that eateth despise him that eateth not, and let him that which eateth not judge him that eateth, for God hath received him. Who art thou that judgest another man's servants? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, we shall be holden up, for God is able to make him sin. So in other words, Paul is saying one brother may have not grown in his faith enough to get away from those things. And so understand him, love him, encourage him, don't condemn him, because it's not a matter of sinful practice. And so Paul is encouraging us to let that one grow up in Christ. And if they choose to worship some of those things, but don't get caught up if somebody comes along and says, listen, y'all over there, y'all go to church on Sunday. Oh, you can't be right with God. You can't be saved. You've got to worship on the Sabbath, on Saturday. No, the Bible doesn't teach that. It teaches we're under a new covenant. The Bible clearly teaches that the Jews worship on Saturday, the Sabbath. We worship on Sunday because it's the day of the resurrection. So we celebrate the resurrection of Christ by meeting on the Lord's Day, Sunday, every week. So don't go back. Number two, don't go back. Number one, watch this. Number two, don't go too far forward. Don't go back is our first thought. Don't go too far forward is our second one. And you might think, well, that's strange, Pastor. You're always trying to encourage us. You're always trying to motivate us to go forward in the Lord. Yes, I am. But notice what we see here as we see this. In other words, don't go where we're never told to go. Don't go where we're never told to do. Verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility and in worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Don't go too far forward. There were some that were going beyond too far forward. What I'm saying is going further than what God had ever said. Some were coming along and saying, listen, God created these other beings, and they're out of the realm of humanity, and they don't have sin, and they began to worship angels. It's not a thing, hardly, that's ever come along that people, in their vainness and the emptiness of the mind, have not come up with an idea and a means to worship. People worship angels here in the New Testament. Some people do that today. Back in the New Testament and Old Testament, there were idols. People would make figures of gold and of silver and clay and wood and bow down and worship. Now, we think of that. We look at that. How silly. How could something that you made with your hands be something that's leading you and helping you? Something you had to make. That's like taking an infant and telling them to make all the rules around the house. Doesn't have the understanding or ability to do that. And neither does something fashioned by people's hands. But people got in here into worshiping angels. And Paul is saying, don't go too far forward. Don't go into something. We worship God. When anyone worships anything or any person greater than God, they're worshiping idols. Now be careful, we can make idols out of anything. Sometimes people make idols out of things in churches. I've known pastors come into churches and take something, a plaque or something, and move it somewhere else. And lo and behold, before long, the church is split. Because half the people in the church said the pastor should be able to move that. And the other person said, no, it's been there for 30 years. And you don't understand the family and the significance of that family who gave that item to the church. And all of a sudden, the church is split. Were they worshiping God? Really better be careful that they're worshiping objects. But Paul is saying here, these people were worshiping angels. Who are we to worship? God. What's God? The God of the Bible. The God of creation. The God of sustaining all things. The God of salvation. Who we know in the Bible is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. How do we know that? Well, right from the early beginning of the Bible. God said, let us make man in our image. And the word God in the Old Testament and the book of Genesis is the word Elohim. Elohim is in the Hebrew language. It's translated God in our New Testament. Sometimes Jehovah is translated God. And so we miss some of the meanings of the different names of God. But the name Elohim for God is in the plural in Hebrew. So we know that the Trinity is right in the Old Testament, as well as in the New Testament. And God, he is the only one to be worshipped. Look at Exodus chapter 20. And don't let anything come between you and the worship of God. God spoke to the Israelites from Mount Sinai. It was thunder and lightning and a quaking of the earth, a magnificent scene. So much that the people became so fearful of God, they asked Moses, let God speak to you, and then you come back and speak to us. Unfortunately, we often lose the fear of God and the sense of awe. We take the awesomeness and the holiness of God for granted. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you up out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Now, what would the Lord say to us? Building upon this, God would say to us, I am God, the Lord God, which brought you out of sin, which brought you out of the slavery of sin and set you free. That would be the application for us in the New Testament. Verse number 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or there is earth beneath, or in the waters under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. For I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord God will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. God is serious about our worship of him, all the way down to the use of his very name, and worship him in the holiness. Some teachers were going around at the same time of the apostles in the New Testament, and they were coming behind the apostles and teaching these foolish things like worship of angels, like going back and keeping all the Sabbaths, like going back and following all the new moons and following all those things. And the apostles had to come back and fight that and say, listen, you are free in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Paul addresses also in Romans chapter 6, don't use your freedom in Christ just to go on and live foolishly and say, I'm free in Christ, I can do whatever I want. No, freedom has its restraints also. We're free citizens of the United States, for now anyway. But do we say, well, because I'm free, I can just do this law, break this law? That would be foolish. Some people do that. And we see what foolishness and what destruction it causes on our nation. And the same thing in us spiritually. I am free to do a lot of things. But will I do all those things and be controlled by those? No. Will I be careful about what I do because it might bring down another brother or sister in Christ and cause them to stumble? Yes, I need to be careful. So don't go back to worshiping in a Sabbath way, or in a judicial way of the Old Testament, but don't go too forward and go into worshiping things that others invite you to worship in. Worshiping angels. Angels are ministers of God, messengers of God, and they're not to be worshipped. And Paul goes on to say that some of the reason for these things was simply because of their pride. Verse 18 of our text says that it was puffing them up. Pride is the opposite of humility. We serve God in humility, and these people were saying, listen, hey, follow what I've heard. I've learned something new. I've learned something more incredible. I've learned something that you need to do. Why were they doing it? They really weren't doing it to help the people worship God. They were doing it to bring attention to themselves. So we had two don'ts so far. Let's look at some do's. Some do's of the Word of God here. Do, number 3, do hold on to our head. Hold on to our head. Now, is it talking about this? Hold on to our head? Walk around all the time holding on to our head? No, the word head here is capitalized. Who is it speaking of? The Lord Jesus Christ. These people are saying, in verses 16, 17, 18, you know what y'all do? You need to hold on to all these old plans. You need to hold on to all these shadows. No, Paul says don't hold on to the shadows. Then some are saying, you need to hold on to this new form of worship, worshiping angels. Nope, Paul says, don't do that either. But I tell you, you want to hold on something? You want to grasp something? You want to put your roots down somewhere? Here, I'll tell you what to do. Put it down verse number 19. And not holding onto the head. That's what they were doing. Those who were teaching these lies, these falsehoods, and heresies were saying, hold on to all these things, and get so busy holding on to all these other things, they would forget to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm holding on to Jesus, and Jesus is holding on to me. I put all my emphasis in what God has plainly told us. We're holding on to the head of our faith. We're holding on to the head of the church. We're holding on to the head of the universe, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at what we can expect when we're holding on to Christ. Look at what we can expect. We can expect here in verse number 19 that we will have spiritual nourishment. When we hold on to Christ, we have spiritual nourishment. When people would hold on to those things in the Old Testament, they would have guilt. Oh, did I miss it? Did I miss it? Did I keep enough of those? No. When we're holding on to Christ, we have all that we need. We have spiritual nourishment. Number two, we are held spiritually together. When we hold on to Jesus Christ, God's holding on to us, and we have spiritual nourishment, and we have the spiritual union with Jesus Christ. Nothing blocks it, but we also have spiritual union with other believers. When Lindsay's holding on to Christ, and I'm holding on to Christ, that brings fellowship between us because we're holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we have opportunity to go to another church to their revival and they're worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ and making him the head of all things, we have fellowship real quickly. It's happened to me many times. I've been on vacation. And God just put us together with another Christian couple. We went on a cruise years ago for our anniversary, and we met up with another Christian couple and had several meals together. God just brought fellowship just like that. Why? We were both holding on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, thirdly, it tells us in verse number 19, when we hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will have spiritual increase. Spiritual increase. I hope that each and one of you desire to have spiritual increase. And what does that mean? That means that we have fruit for labor, spiritual labor. We see other people's lives being impacted. Now listen to what the Word of God says in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. The Word of God says, ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of wickedness, fall from your own steadfastness. That's what God wants for us, to be steadfast. In Corinthians, it said, be steadfast, steadfast, immovable, always abounding in our work for the Lord. This verse here in 2 Peter, verse number 18 of chapter 3, he says, But, grow in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. To whom be glory both now and forever. Amen. When we're holding on to Jesus Christ, we will grow. When you hold on to tradition, you'll grow, but you'll grow the wrong direction. When you try to worship angels, or worship your children, or worship your grandchildren, or worship your occupation, or worship your hobbies, and make that the center focus of your life, you will not grow spiritually as you are. Hold on to our head. So, don't go back. Don't go too far forward. Hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then fourthly, do one other thing. Do hold on to Christ. And then this one. Do enjoy being dead. What? What did I say? Did you hear that? Do enjoy being dead. Now, I'm not talking about being a couch potato. Some people can do that. I can sit down and watch TV for a little while. And if my team's winning, which doesn't happen much lately anymore, any of them, college or pros, I can probably sit there for the three and a half hour game. But then there's another game on. I might watch a little bit of that. But after a while, I got to get moving. I can't just stay there forever. And some people, what do they call it, just vegetating? And there's a new word that's been created the last couple of years. What's that when you watch a show over and over and over and over all day? Binge watching. Yeah. Some people can do that. Some people just get on the couch and get in the recliner and sleep all afternoon. I can't do that. That's okay if you do that. Some people just dead. Like a fish, they're just dead. But listen, spiritually, I'm told to be dead. And I'm told, do enjoy being dead. Hear me out. Hear me out. Verses 22 to 23. Do enjoy being dead. Therefore, if ye be dead with Christ, if. Anytime you find the word if in the Bible, I'd encourage you to double underline or highlight it. If is an important word. If you're born again, if you're saved, if you're right with God, if you're doing, if is important. Therefore, if you be dead in Christ. In other words, Paul's there emphasizing it. If you're born again, if you be dead with Christ, from the rudiments, the teachings, the regulations, the traditions of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which are the perish with the using, after the commandments and the doctrines of men, which things have indeed a shadow, a show of wisdom and ill worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor of the satisfying of the flesh. He's saying not all those things are going to do what you think they're going to do. Get back to the Lord Jesus Christ and being joy, being dead in Christ. Verse 20, dead with Christ. Verse 20, dead from the rudiments of the world. And verse 23, dead from falsehoods. That's how we get more and more alive in Christ. That's how we grow in Christ. Dying to self and live to Christ. What did Jesus tell us? Take up your cross and follow me. Not talking about a nice piece of jewelry. When he says, take up your cross and follow me, he's not saying we got to go out to a hill and lay on a cross and be crucified just like Jesus was and pull out the nails real quick and get some surgery and get some scissors. So that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about being dead to self-will and desires and being dead to any means that we try to get salvation by any way or anyone other than Christ. And then also being dead to our will. Not my will, but yours be done, what Jesus cried. And that's the cry that God wants us to have in our life. Father, we thank you that you give us the Holy Spirit to live in us at the salvation. And Father, you give us the power in us. The same power that raised your Son from the dead is the same power that lives in us. It gives us the power to say yes about what you to say yes. And to say no about what you would have us to say no. And Father, you give us the power to do the things you tell us to do. And Father, you give us the power to not do the things that you would not have us to do. Lord, but it's not easy. Our flesh wants to draw us away. Our pride wants to draw us away. Our self-will wants to draw us away. False teachers are coming at us and encouraging. And the media and the news and all kinds of things. Father, we want to be on task for you. And Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'd send personal revival in our hearts. You'd send revival to our church. And Father, just help us see lost souls saved, see people rejuvenated. We pray for many that are members of this congregation or regular attenders of this congregation at one time would come this Sunday. And Father, you would just revive their hearts. Get them excited about serving you in our church again. Serving in our community. Reaching out for you. Lord, I'm praying that you would just send a great revival. And Lord, I pray as you close this service now that, Lord, you'd help us to be mindful to do the things you'd have us to do. And to avoid the things you'd have us to avoid. And I pray that you just have your will in this invitation. In Christ's name, amen.